Hi, this is Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. Welcome to The Benny Strickler Story, a personal, in-depth portrait of the best unknown jazz trumpet player of the 1930s and 40s, and possibly one of the all-time greats. A legend long persisted in the West of a young jazz trumpet player out of Arkansas who in a mere half decade made a lasting impression on his contemporaries. For nearly a year, he led the eight-piece horn section of Bob Wills' Texas Playboys and briefly led the wartime Yerba Buena jazz band of Lou Waters before collapsing from tuberculosis and soon dying, all before the age of 25. The story behind that legend is true. Hi, I'm Dave Radlauer, here to bring you the Benny Strickler story, as told by musicians who knew him well and from his long, unissued recordings. And I'll be joined by Hal Smith, a musician and jazz researcher dedicated to preserving Strickler's music and memory. He's published a series of excellent articles about Strickler's life and times that you can find at the Jazz Rhythm website. And Hal was drummer for a fine early 90s session that attempted to roughly recreate Benny's sound with the Yerba Buena. So in addition to Strickler's original recordings, we'll be hearing excerpts from a tribute to Benny Strickler, a project led by trad jazz trumpeter Chris Tile, who also has been engaged in preserving the memory and music of Benny Strickler. Clarinetist Bob Helm, who knew Strickler well, recalled his exceptional qualities as a musician.
I was immediately struck by his simplicity of tone and the simplicity of his ideas. No wasted motion and not a lot of notes. Every one of them counted. Jazz and Baby's Blues, it's a punchy lead, but it's still sparse, no frills. Still it has a jazz sound, an unmistakable jazz sound to it. Yeah, his lead as he opens it. Thank you.
the superb Jazz and Babies Blues of the wartime Lew Waters Yerba Buena Jazz Band, 1942. That featured trumpeter Benny Strickler at the Don Club in San Francisco, alongside several of the regular and substitute members of Yerba Buena. Just ahead, we'll hear from a couple of those musicians recalling that historic moment and Benny's remarkable gift for lifting and unifying a jazz band. Now, keep in mind that all the recordings by this little-known trumpeter add up to barely 24 sides, less than half with solos, most never issued during his lifetime. The main argument for Strickler's greatness is the half-dozen Yerba Buena jazz band records we're hearing this hour, but they were only issued after his death, with little fanfare nearly a decade later. In a future program, I'll focus on Strickler's remarkable sojourn leading the horn section of Bob Wills' Texas Playboys. I've got a fascinating interview with one of his bandmates and recording, so that should be fun. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for joining me for the Benny Strickler story on jazz rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. When I interviewed reed player Bob Helms some 2 decades ago, he had pleasant memories of his friend and praise for his unique musical talents.
I met him in 1935 in Oklahoma City. Ben was playing with a band, Ralph Britt's band. It was a 10-piece band. I think Benny settled out here then in the L.A. area. And I later met Ben in 38, 39. I guess he came through here with a swing band that played a lot of Latin American tunes, too. But it was a very good swing band. He came through and he stopped by Lew Waters' house and got to renew my acquaintance with him there. His ability to play a lead from a written score and make it sound like it came right from the top of his head. And that's a rare accomplishment. Not too many musicians can read and make it sound musical. So Ben had that ability, so had Lew Waters. Everything he played counted and had a relationship to the tune that he played.
I'm joined by Hal Smith, a traditional jazz drummer who's played with just about everybody in the field.
My current assignment's playing with the Jim Cullum Jazz Band in San Antonio, Texas.
I don't think there are too many stomp-off records that you want the drummer on, as I recall.
I've done a lot.
You did a lot for them. Thanks for joining me. We're talking about Benny Strickler. This is not a guy who's well-known, and you've really followed this story, tracking down documents, correspondence of Strickler, stuff that really hasn't seen the light of day since he died back in the 40s.
That's right, and also made contact with his family, and that opened a lot of doors as far as research into his life.
You've been speaking with his daughter?
Right, Diane Brazil. I believe she's still in Fayetteville, where the family is from, Fayetteville, Arkansas. She actually sent me the family's scrapbook with the whole biography of Benny and lots of photos, postcards, matchbooks from places he played. Just a real treasure trove of information about him.
Now, some of that information has been published in the Frisco Cricket, which is the publication of the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation at sftradjazz.org.
sftradjazz.org.
And I'm hoping what we can do for my listeners is make a lot of this material available on my website. So if people want to follow this story of Benny Strickler a little further, they'll have the resources.
That's great.
That was the New Orleans Rover Boys in 1991 playing Riverside Blues, one of the early King Oliver tunes, revived by Lew Waters' Yerba Buena Jazz Band around 1940. This is the story of legendary jazz trumpeter Benny Strickler on jazz rhythm. In the coming hour, you'll hear about his unique skills as a trumpeter, his determination to carry on despite serious illness, and just ahead, Benny stars in the rare Choirs of Brass transcriptions. Strickler's legendary moment in San Francisco capped 6 or 7 years of intense professional music making. Between 1935 and 41, Benny had worked mostly in Los Angeles, There he had brief but significant roles in the bands of Ben Pollock, Joe Venuti, Wingy Minone, and others. But in L.A., he also had to work a lot of uninspiring hotel-style bands just to feed his family. But a side benefit for Benny was that many of these bands frequently visited San Francisco. Former bandmate Danny Alguire recalls just how much he loved the West Coast traditional sound then emerging in San Francisco.
I'm sure that Benny got up to Frisco a lot because he told me, he said, every chance I get, I run down and sit in with him. But I suspect this went on maybe for 2-3 years. Of course, they knew him and admired him. They were glad as hell to have him sit in. I'm sure that when he got this call, boy, to come up there, he couldn't wait to get up there. That was his first love. Just what Waters was playing.
Years ago, in separate interviews, my guest Hal Smith and I spoke with two musicians who still had vivid memories half a century after their gig at the Don Club with Benny. One of the things that we both did in trying to learn about Benny Strickler was to talk to the late Bob Helm, an outstanding clarinet and soprano sax player, and Bill Barden, who substituted for Turk Murphy in the Yerba Buena Band briefly in the early 40s. And these men both encountered Benny Strickler in the Yerba Buena Band.
Correct. I think between our interviews, we found out additional information on the later interview, perhaps.
Bob Helm was a guy with a really sharp memory. I remember talking to him on several subjects, and he knew dates and times and who said what when from 50 years before.
Helm's retention was really amazing. I've never talked to anyone else with a memory like that.
Most of the Yerba Buena Band, Lou and Turk and Wally, Harry Mordecai went into service. The Don Club wanted to continue on with the same program of music. The records that were made were what the band was after the Yerba Buena Band left. So it was Alice Horn and Bert Bales and Clancy sometimes. Most of us played there, I guess, for several months in 42 and early 43. Wow, a fabulous muskrat ramble. Benny Strickler featured with the wartime Yerba Buena Jazz Band in 1942, live at the Don Club in San Francisco. This is the Benny Strickler story on Jazz Rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me. In 1939, the Lou Waters Yerba Buena Jazz Band was formed in revolt against the big band swing of its day. For one thing, they were defiantly rejecting what they saw as overly sophisticated or bland written arrangements that had begun to stifle swing music and bleach out any real jazz feeling.
Instead, the West Coast traditional jazz revival sought to play authentic classic jazz in the style of Jelly Roll Morton and the early New Orleans diaspora. They focused especially on the King Oliver and Young Louis Armstrong recordings, hence Waters' famed allegiance to a two-trumpet front line. Though the term front line is a bit of a misnomer in this case, because the Waters' horns were so loud, they often stood behind the rhythm section so as not to drown it out. The hallmarks of this new jazz tradition were sparse arrangements and inspired soloing. Waters wanted a spirited ensemble polyphony sound in the outdoor New Orleans style, very brassy and favoring march-like rhythms. The band was dedicated to an early, even primitive jazz style, rejecting the hit parade for a decades-old repertory from the first quarter of the 20th century. And with pianist Wally Rose, Waters sparked a worldwide ragtime renaissance as well. The epicenter of West Coast traditional jazz was the Dawn Club in San Francisco, where the Waters Band was making a big noise in the years around World War II. Here's Friendless Blues, which was the band's theme song, as we hear more recollections from trombonist Bill Barden and from Bob Helm, who played clarinet in the original Yerba Buena and helped shape its style.
It was the Dawn Club, 20 Annie Street. And there was an air shot every Friday night over KYA. Somebody, I don't know who, set up a home recordio in the kitchen and did some air checks. This was the fall of 42, and the war was on, and the guys from the Waters Band were going in the service one by one. So they needed players to keep going at the Dawn Club.
We played things that Benny knew. Did we ever have a rehearsal, Bill?
Oh, yeah. To break me into the band. I was the first of the Turk imitators, for what it's worth. I just knew it from standing alongside Turk when he was playing. But it seemed that I'd been going to the Dawn Club and listening to the band for a long time before the war started.
He was a friendly guy, very helpful. He just wanted to help people to make a good sound, a good band sound.
Well, he had the ability to make the band bounce along. He had a bouncy way. Without him, that was not the bounciest of bands. In fact, when that band sounded good, it was because of him.
This is the Benny Strickler story on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thank you for joining me. And my great thanks to guest Hal Smith, whose deep research and keen ear, I think, have brought much sharper focus to our portrait of this remarkable musician. You'll find Hal's articles at the Jazz Rhythm website, jazzhotbigstep.com. By 1942, when he arrived in San Francisco, Strickler had absorbed and synthesized a wide range of styles and influences that he could draw upon as needed. But he was strongly guided by the jazz style of his native Southwest.
The Yerba Buena Jazz Band in San Francisco is reconstituting under wartime conditions. Most of the guys go join the Navy or the Armed Forces.
With substitutes, some of the original guys left over. Burt Bales, for instance, had poor eyesight and couldn't have been drafted, so he stayed behind on piano. Fortuitously, the Bob Wills Band had just disbanded due to World War II, and Benny Strickler was at liberty and joined the band briefly in San Francisco at the Dawn Club. And to make up the full instrumentation, they had two clarinets, just to make up a full 7-piece band. Sometimes a tuba player would be available, but not always. And we hear another influence in his playing, and that's Lou Waters. Lou told me that before Benny joined the band as a regular musician, he sat in at the Dawn Club, and Lou and Benny played together. Lou, many, many years later, said Benny was very fond of the two-trumpet thing. We never got to hear that, but we hear him definitely influenced by Waters and the way he played with the Yerba Buena Band on these recordings.
The Yerba Buena Jazz Band in San Francisco in the late 30s was rejecting the swing and big band music of its time and actually going back to an earlier New Orleans roots, Jelly Roll Morton, King Oliver, early Louis Armstrong style.
Right. And one other style that maybe the Waters Band wasn't consciously playing, but it came across that way, was the Kansas City style of Benny Moten with the very pronounced 2-4 rhythm. I remember talking to Bert Bales, a great San Francisco pianist who also worked with Benny Strickler and with the Yerba Buena Band, one time about the rhythm in Lou Waters' group. And Bert said, yeah, they had a nice Kansas City sound. And, of course, I think Kansas City, I think Count Basie.
Right, swinging 4-4.
Exactly.
Joe Jones.
Joe Jones, Freddie Green. I stared at Bert and he said, you know, Kansas City, like Benny Moten. And the light bulb came on. And years later, I talked to Helm about Benny's sound and his beat. Helm said, well, I believe that's characteristic of the Southwest. I hadn't thought about it, but I listened to Benny Moten's record of South with Lamar Wright on cornet. And the break that he takes in the ensemble chorus, the phrasing is very much like Benny Strickler. And other players from the Southwest, like Yank Lawson or Nate Casabir. There's a number of players, if you look at a map of the Southwest and look at different trumpet players, Danny Alguire in particular, who was a friend of Benny Strickler.
And who played in the Wills Band.
The Wills Band, and later with the Firehouse Five. They all phrased similarly. It really was a Southwestern thing. Helm was absolutely right about that.
Can you characterize again that phrasing?
It's relaxed. Where you think of the way Louis Armstrong phrased, or Bunk Johnson, Mutt Carey, a lot of the New Orleans players didn't push the beat so much. They played maybe just a little bit behind it, very relaxed. It's just not pushing the beat. It's not like Muggsy Spanier or Wild Bill Davison, where they're right up on top of the beat or maybe even a little bit ahead. It's just very easygoing and relaxed.
And so this seems to be a characteristic of Strickler's music as well.
Yes, it does. Even on his earliest recordings with Seeger Ellis, he still got that feel. Where you think of most big bands having a reed section and a brass section, the choirs of brass had a brass section and one reed player.
Yeah, was it 4 trumpets and 4 trombones, I think?
Something like that, and 1 clarinet.
Well, yeah, that's a brass-heavy sound for sure.
Benny was the principal trumpet soloist. All the players in the section were excellent, including Nate Casabir, who also played with Benny Goodman and with Gene Krupa. But it's obviously Benny taking the bulk of the solos on all the choirs of brass recordings. There's a few 78s. The band didn't last very long. It was an idea whose time really never came. But they made, I would guess, maybe a dozen sides for Decca, plus the transcription session, which we've listened to. Mm-hmm. And I have not tracked down all the Decca sides. I've just heard two or three. But the transcriptions are where Benny is featured.
I think those recordings were made on the West Coast.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And there were other West Coast bands that Benny participated in. So we're talking a little bit earlier period here. We're talking, what, like 1937, 38, I think?
That's correct. Well, he was playing in all kinds of bands, territory bands. And when he was in Southern California, he played with Joe Venuti and Ben Pollock and also Wingy Minone. That's where Bob Helm worked with him, was in the Wingy Minone band. And all these were prior to his work with Bob Wills and with the Waters band, just before he joined the Seeger Ellis band in the late 30s. I think the best one of those recordings to show what he was playing was Copenhagen, which was a jazz standard. It was also played by the Bob Wills band and later by the revival band such as the Waters band and the Firehouse Five. But that's a very characteristic solo by Benny on Copenhagen.
Seeger Ellis's rare and unique Choirs of Brass, featuring trumpet solos by Benny Strickler on Copenhagen Clarinet Marmalade and Bugle Call Rag, probably from 1937. This is the Benny Strickler Story on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer with jazz drummer, writer and researcher Hal Smith. His groundbreaking articles were published between 1998 and 2002 by the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation and can now be found at the Jazz Rhythm website, along with extended music and interview clips and more about Benny at jazzhotbigstep.com. We're also hearing selections from a worthy tribute to Strickler that was led and organized by traditional jazz trumpeter Chris Tile in 1991, and interviews with musicians, now past, who made music with Benny. In a future program, I'll tell you how Strickler helped Bob Wills build a formidable big band and Dixieland horn section in the Texas Playboys, and we'll get an intimate view of him from a former bandmate. Still ahead this hour, Benny's best recordings with the Yerba Buena Jazz Band, his valiant struggle with tuberculosis that eventually silenced his horn, and more with Hal Smith. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.